This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and there are now 63 cities and towns designated as high risk for the coronavirus in Massachusetts. That is 23 more than last week. When the list was originally released, there were four. And this is the seven-day average. Positive coronavirus test rate in Massachusetts is at its highest point since August at 1.3%. These trends raise a number of questions about whether we know how to and effectively can stop a second surge of the virus and what the other costs to our communities of doing so might be. We plan to have joining us the mayor of Somerville, Joe Curtatone. Somerville had one of the most conservative approaches to reopening in the state and entered the high-risk zone this week. I need to check and see, do we have Mayor Curtatone on the line? Great. So Mayor Curtatone joins us now. Mayor Joel Curtatone, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on.
So Mayor Curtatone, Somerville was one of 27 cities and towns newly added to the state's list of high-risk communities last night. What do you think is behind that? Why did that happen?
Well, you know, despite Somerville's very deliberate and probably the most diligent, methodical approach to reopening in the Commonwealth, what we've seen in the Boston metropolitan areas, a consistency in higher numbers of positive cases, even as the governor has allowed for a move into phases 3.1 and 3.2, where we have resisted based on data and expertise. And the later part, 3.2, allows for higher occupancy numbers and activities, such as indoor and outdoor performance venues, allowing to be up to 50% or 250 people. Again, while Somerville has been careful and measured in its reopening, it's important to remember that the virus knows no boundaries, knows no borders. We're still a part of this metropolitan area. We have but many of the communities that are already high risk. And again, we're not only the most densely populated community in New England, we're part of one of the most densely populated regions in the country. So we're not surprised that we've ticked into the red category. We predicted this. We've established a process and framework to analyze our data, to monitor how the virus is evolving, and we've been prepared for this for a while because it's all been part of our effort to prepare for the resurgence.
So there have been some businesses in Somerville and other places who have argued that this phased reopening that you're talking about, and Somerville did approach it more cautiously and more slowly, these stages of reopening, that is fundamentally too painful to the economic bottom line. Now that we're in a place where you've done that, but Somerville is still seeing the increases and still entering into the red zone, does that mean it may be time for a different strategy? And might a different strategy take a different approach economically?
Well, what it doesn't mean is just having against the advice of expertise and caution is to just open up activities to the extent we've seen in this region. We now have, from last week, an increase of 23 communities that are in the red. I'd submit Somerville's approach has been prudent and has been impactful. We have a lower positivity rate than the majority of the Commonwealth, but we still have 42 people that died. And let's remember that we cannot have a sustainable recovery of our economy without a healthy society. Almost 9,500 people have passed away in the Commonwealth. Over 215,000, over 217,000 now in the nation. People continue to become infected, continue to become ill, and they're going to continue to die. So I'd submit the approach we've taken is one that should be aligned as a coordinated regional approach. And it's not the measures that are slowing our economy or bringing it or brought it down. It's the pandemic. It's not really a response to the pandemic. And that's important to remember. Until we have a full or on our way to a full recovery from this health crisis and people have confidence that we're able to do that and people stop becoming ill and dying, we're not going to have a sustainable recovery of the economy.
So I was a little surprised to hear you say that. I want to check in with you. Are you saying that even if we had not scaled back and the phases had not been what they were, we would still be seeing this kind of economic impact because the virus itself would create it?
The resulting recession to the economy is a consequence of the pandemic, not the measures taken. And that's fact. That's fact. Because, many of our businesses are suffering from a lack of consumer confidence and lack of confidence that we have the proper safety measures in place and a strong concern that if they go out and frequent those businesses, such as restaurants or other establishments, we have large gatherings, they may become ill. So That is fact. That's not just the premise that Somerville is based its actions upon. Our job is to make sure we are guided by two stars, to ensure that whatever activity we decide to reopen, and we're going to continue on this strategy, is that we do so in a way that it continues to ensure the health and safety, well-being in everybody in our community, and that any phase of reopening is sustainable. Faced with the Commonwealth now being in the rate, Somerville ticked up to 8.2. Average cases per day over the last 2 weeks. That's going to come back down, and as we predicted weeks ago, it's going to go back and forth for cities around the Commonwealth. But the Commonwealth is at 8.6, so by its own measure, the Commonwealth is a high-risk state.
And this is just for listeners, Mayor Curtatone, that's per 100,000 people,
right?
Correct.
So the Commonwealth uses a measurement, which I don't totally agree with, because it's one point of data, but by its own measurement, if you average 8 cases or more per 100,000 population on a two-week average, you're in the red. You're categorized as red. We're at 8.2. The Commonwealth at 8.6.
Let me stop you there, if I could. And I'm sorry. I know there's a lot to say here, but I have a lot of questions for you, too. With those numbers in mind, it's a compound question. Have you thought about actually scaling back rather than just pausing where you are? And are you talking, I know we've had you on the air about your regional strategy with Tufts University and Medford. What about a larger regional response with the cities and towns around you and with the governor? Are you in that kind of coordination?
That coordination, thank you for bringing up, does not exist. And that's what we need to do. From the beginning of this pandemic, municipal leaders in cities and towns, like some of them, like myself, have clamored for an integrated, coordinated, collaborative approach in response to the pandemic. We're part of one densely populated region. You have 351 cities and towns, in essence, implementing 351 responses to the pandemic. That can't happen, and we cannot achieve success. Somerville, I'd submit, has set a standard to the response, along with other communities, being the first to institute mandatory mask orders for indoor or outdoor activities, and its approach to analyzing and deliberateness to analyzing the reopening of any economic activities. We've instituted measures in our incident command team in response to measure and analyze different points of data, whether it's positive tests, whether it's analyzing, the evidence of any infection within our sewer system and wastewater, measuring that. But we're on it on our own. And what we've seen in other states is, when I submit in states like New York, is they've done it on a regional approach. You cannot separate the impact in every community from each other within the region. What happens in Somerville certainly matters in Salem. What happens in Lynn certainly matters in Framingham and so forth.
So what could the state do differently?
One of the most densely populated regions in the United States, essential workers travel on the same transit systems. They're interacting with one another.
So what could the state do differently, and what could the cities and towns that neighbor Somerville do differently to allow for that level of coordination?
Well, first, there has to be commitment for that level of coordination. I submit that is there, and absolutely there, from cities and towns. I chair the Metropolitan Mayors Coalition. I facilitate, along with Kim Driscoll, who chairs the North Shore Coalition. Those are the CEOs and mayors and managers from those particular regions. And since the beginning of this pandemic, we've facilitated regional coordination calls and meetings amongst the leaders of our communities here and across the Commonwealth. And one of the consistent themes has been, we need a plan. We need a plan that is transparent, but coordinated and integrated amongst the regions and the Commonwealth. We need to make very clear to each other and the public how we're basing our decisions. What indicators drive a decision to open up a part of our economy or to roll it back? To go back to your original question, we here have undertaken that approach, and we will analyze all the data. And the important thing is, if there's a source that is contributing to high numbers or an outbreak, then we act strategically to contain that source. Right now, there is nothing that is popping out saying it's this particular activity or that. It appears to be what is a consistent theme we're seeing in the Commonwealth and the country, and most in the Commonwealth is in familial settings that seems to be contributing to the high ticket numbers, and that's probably the case around the Commonwealth. But we still have absent a regional approach. And without that approach, we're going to continue to have this varying degrees of response, communities coming in and out of different color schemes. And I know it's more of a whack-a-mole approach, and I don't think that's going to be effective moving forward.
So last question for you, Mayor. In the spring, the governor was clear that the goal wasn't to eliminate infections, but instead to limit them as much as possible to ensure that we had the necessary healthcare capacity to respond. That is a surge goal. What is the right everyday goal?
Well, first, I do want to commend the governor and the administration and everyone in the Commonwealth for stepping up at the beginning, because at the beginning of the pandemic, correct, we wanted to limit the amount of infections as possible and maintain the stability of our healthcare system, because if had it collapsed like it did in northern Italy, it would have meant lives. So we did a very good job of flattening on the curve and maintaining that stability and capacity. But you hit a good point here. We can take the approach that the goal is to maintain as much capacity as possible and ICU beds and ventilators. That is certainly important. But what that only guarantees is that if you do get ill and to that level of illness, you'll have a bed to be in and a ventilator. What we should be doing is what experts have stated from the very beginning: everything we need to do to interrupt the transmission of the virus from one person to another. The way to avoid serious illness is to avoid infection. The way to avoid death is to avoid serious illness and hence infection. And I think that's an approach we need to adopt wholeheartedly now and do so on a regional level.
That is Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone. Always great to have you. Thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.